In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents A Voice of Truth and Inspiration, broadcasting on frequencies of love, laughter, and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions as we, as one, strive for higher and higher planes of existence, always remembering life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. Tonight's special guest is Tanya Diamond, creator of Modern Tantra and Tantra for Business. And now your host, our MC, our master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Thank you, Mark, and ciao, everyone. This is going to be a great show. This is actually going to be, a first of many shows, because we're going to be talking about Tantra. And Tantra is really important. Now, a lot of people think that Tantra is just about sex, but it's not. And our guest has taken it to a whole new dimension for us, both in our life and in our businesses. But when it comes to the sex, it's interesting, actually, because just in talking to Tanya and going over her work and learning more about her and what she does and what she believes and all that, I've come to have such an appreciation for Tantra, of course, and for some of these ancient philosophies and studies. And also, I was able to look back for a moment earlier today on so much of the judging, dare I say, that I've been doing around sexuality, actually. And I remembered today as I was talking to Tanya or afterwards, I was flooded with all these memories of times when I either didn't know better or I was in a place of judging based on my beliefs as I grew up a certain way, in my case, Italian, American, and Catholic. And that's, you know, not all Italian Americans or Catholics necessarily share the same beliefs that I grew up with or that my parents had or that I came to understand or that I came to perhaps even judge. And I remember different scenarios, for example, when I would be out performing and there would be people that would express, I've never talked about this, so I don't know if I even want to now. All right, so let's bring our guests on. I got to know a lot of different people who were in a lot of different things. I remember being on the plane once, and I think it might have been even first class, and here was this lady, for example, who was showing me her valise, and in her valise were all of these, I don't know how you call them, like accoutrements or something, where she had whips and chains and all kinds of things in there and potions, and she was telling me what she does with them and what she would like to do to me with them. And at the time, I was kind of scared of her. I mean, she was beautiful, and you know, when we talked about it, it sounded kind of weird, but interesting. But when she actually showed me this stuff, I'm like, wow, this lady's serious. And I thought, what kind of a lady are you? And who actually takes part in these kind of rituals? And she was telling me that it's CEOs and presidents of companies. And she was flying, obviously, first class all over the world, evidently, with doing things. And she was, I asked her what this meant to her. I mean, this was a few years, many years back, so I didn't know what I know now. But she was saying how people, especially world leaders or company leaders, are under so much pressure that sometimes to have a dominatrix, which is what she was, tell them what to do, helps them balance out or relieve pressure or tension or something. And I, for some reason, just without thinking, just carried the beliefs from childhood without really knowing, you know, that people do this or why people do this or whatever. I guess I kind of just judged and just said, okay, that's sick. But, you know, there are techniques that are done in hospitals or psychiatric wards that I could probably judge as even more sick than somebody being tied up and whipped. And come to think of it, it's something that used to be done in the church many years ago. And you know, so it actually was because people were trying to atone for their sins. But from what I understand now, that there was something else happening, that people actually would go into ecstasy or whatever by after being whipped so many times or whatever. I don't want to get into this because it's not something that I'm an expert in. But my point is that I judged without knowing because of what people told me and what people did. And then, you know, later on, so many of us have seen the movie like Eyes Wide Shut, right? And what does that all mean? I don't know. I'm not a part of that in particular. But I can see that different people have different needs, that this world, our society, has imposed certain beliefs on people that maybe aren't natural or maybe aren't right for everybody, and that sometimes behavior is needed to counterbalance. So I'm not necessarily justifying, I'm not necessarily condoning, and I'm not even saying that any of this is bad. I'm just saying that I shouldn't have judged, and I don't judge. And I'm glad that we're having a guest like the one we're having on tonight to tell us a little bit more, even though we're not going to dwell on Tantra and sex per se. But the fact that we touched on that when her and I were talking, I liked that I could look back and almost kind of try and clear up the judgment from the past. And my hope for the future for me and for all of us is that we can put that kind of judgment aside, at the very least, suspend our disbelief and give an opportunity for some kind of truth or revelation to come out of whatever we're experiencing in that moment. Because with judgment, things just stop moving forward. So with that, I am looking forward to our guest being on with us very shortly. As a matter of fact, right after this.
Clean water is not enough. Reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They are acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb, and rob minerals from the body. Ionways ionizers produce a super abundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an IonWays ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. An ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. IonWays Water Systems, their water changes everything. To learn more about IonWays Water Systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Well, we're back, and our guest tonight is Tanya Diamond, who is the creator of Modern Tantra and Tantra for Business. She is a life strategist with a specialty in business, spirituality, and sexual intimacy. This is kind of interesting because I have a feeling she's not just talking about sexual intimacy between two people, but maybe between companies. I don't know. I can't wait.
Corporate intimacy.
Can't wait till you tell us about that, Tanya. She has been working in the U.S. and abroad, expanding human consciousness for the past 25 years. She is the author of Beyond Sex Tantra, a practical guide to extraordinary living. We welcome Tanya Diamond on the show. Welcome, Tanya.
Thank you. You know, between your name and mine, what do we say?
Voltaggio and Diamond. It's going to be powerful. We're going to raise the energy no matter what.
I know, and thank you for having me on this evening.
Well, this is you're welcome, and this is exciting because, you know, it's interesting. All the producers were talking about having you on the show, and we each had different reasons. And I loved that because it just goes to show that Tantra means so many different things to so many people. Mm-hmm. And here you have taken it to a whole other level. So where do we start?
You know, that's always a great question. I think one of the big things is, you know, that whole misconception that Tantra is strictly about sex.
Right. See, now that's why I wanted you on the show. I thought, let's talk about sex, baby. We haven't done that on the show.
Yeah, well, we can certainly do that. I mean, we do have the time. And, you know, but the truth is only 3% of Tantra is actually anything to do with sexuality. And, of course, when it came over to the West in the 60s, Neo-Tantra took hold. That's N-E-O-Tantra or New Tantra. And that was primarily focused on the sexual aspects of not only Tantra, but the Kama Sutra. So things got a little bit muddied up there. And of course, you know, the United States people all want to talk about sex.
You know, actually, maybe because it seems that having traveled in other countries, sex is not as big a deal to them as it is here.
Right.
Or maybe it's bigger deal. It's just that it's not as covert, I should say.
Right. Well, it's not taboo. We have such a charge on sexuality in this country where it's in our face all the time, but we are uncomfortable to have discussions about it only in kind of a giggly, hushed, embarrassed way.
Hmm.
So it's kind of sad, really. I think we should be a little bit more open. More people would actually, you know, probably have a better time for sure.
And what you're saying is not only through sex, but obviously through the tantric energy, we could have a better life, period.
Well, I mean, Tantra is the oldest technology on the planet, dating back over 6,000 years. And it's so vast that really you couldn't read all the scriptures in your lifetime, probably. And most people believe that Tantra is a, you know, kind of free-for-all, just kind of take what you want from it. But it's actually a very, very systematic approach to life mastery. And so I have studied classical Tantra, and that's what I'm bringing, a mix of classical Tantra, Neo-Tantra, and a whole bunch of other things that I know into the field with what we're calling modern Tantra. You know, in the last 150 years, we have not evolved to the speed that everything else is evolving around us. You've got to admit, right?
We as human psychological beings?
Right. You know, I mean, if you consider that, you know, our technology and how fast we're moving and all the things that are happening right now, we're still, you know, we're still driven by our biological urges, and we're still driven by these underlying programs that most people are not even aware of.
Hmm. Talk to me.
Okay. Well, for instance, most people don't understand, you know, that they're picking their mates, especially, let's say, women, based on sexual chemistry. Sexual chemistry is a genetic thing where we're picking an opposite immunity of our own so that we can procreate and have genetically good babies. Women pick that based on smell, on how a man smells. Now, obviously, like thousands of years ago, we weren't as deodorized and pampered and showered as we are now.
Right.
So it was much easier to pick. Now we have to filter through all of the smells that are there, and the birth control pill has messed up all of that. When we're on the pill, we think our bodies think we're pregnant, and we pick men who are our tribe mates and brothers, not the men that we should be with.
Hmm.
So I'll get calls from women who say, I've been with my partner for a long time, I got off the pill, and I can't stand the way he smells. And they don't have good chemistry. Those people generally have, it doesn't mean they can't be taught to have good intimacy and have a great relationship, but they don't have that to die for procreational chemistry that we at Hollywood glamorizes that we're all looking for.
Are you telling me that they get back on the pill maybe, and then then the mate's okay?
They'd feel better. Yeah, they'd feel better about their mate, but it's always going to be that kind of brotherly kind of thing. You know, like they feel safe and comfortable. We've heard those. We have 40 million sexless couples in the United States. And a lot of those people say, but we're really good friends and we really love each other. We just don't have that, you know, spark.
So are you saying that women used to pick men based on, you know, the genetics and all that, so they can make the best babies that are going to live and all that, that right. now we don't need to anymore?
No, we still are driven by all that biology, but we're not making those choices based on that, and then we're upset that we're not getting the result. So, you know, women will say to me, I want that, you know, I had that one relationship where that man was so hot, and it was just such, I would have died for him. You know, and that's where women get into that bad boy syndrome, where they're staying with these men that are horrible for them. Excuse me. And that's because they had that amazing procreational chemistry with that man. It doesn't mean they were going to have a good relationship. Those two things are not synonymous.
Mm.
But they're looking, because Hollywood gives us that picture of, you know, just, oh, you know, they meet and the clothes just fall off and sparks just happen and, you know, their fists clenched together. And, you know, then they don't, they wonder, where is that? And now men are designed to procreate with a lot of different women. So men have visual cues of fertility, but they're not as picky. They're not as narrow channeled. So, you know, they're not doing those things. They're looking at very different things. And then, of course, with the advent of internet porn, men have messed up that for themselves as well. So we're very challenged by all the new things that are happening.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, online dating certainly takes the smell out of it.
Well, that's true. Yeah, so women are picking on different criteria, right? They're trying to pick on how he looks or what he drives or how much money he makes. And then ultimately they're saying, well, there is not that spark. I don't have this. I don't know about that. And, you know, men are once they start down the porn world, they're creating neural pathways in their brain that hook them. It's like being a heroin addict, actually. And they get this visual stimulus of a certain look over and over again, and no longer are satisfied or pleased with the reality of what happens.
Wow.
So that's a huge... I'm not a prude in it by any any standard, and I'm not morally against porn, but internet porn is destroying relationships and men. Men. I have to create a whole new product line for men who are porn addicts to help them.
So basically you're saying, as far as relationships are concerned in this society, we're fucked.
Well,
I'm saying it for you.
I'm saying, you know what I'm saying, because I'm kind of an optimist. So what I would say is that society today, we are lacking training in relationship, training in sexuality, and training in knowing ourselves. We're babies who have been thrown into the, you know, the adult world so fast because of how technology is evolving, and we haven't caught up. You know, so I'm saying, yes, we need some training, we need some education. And when people put more effort and thought into what computer they're going to buy than in training themselves to have what, you know, their relationship or their sex life, it's very sad.
Wow. Okay, so you talked about Tantra as a technology, and then
Correct.
You also said that technology has grown, but we haven't. So there is a technology available to us that is ancient, and we are not using it. How would we use it, and how does that affect our stuff?
Our life, our stuff, our things.
I'm thinking
our stuff,
everything.
Our things.
Yeah, right. How does that affect my car?
Right. Exactly. Well, you know, first of all, when I first started teaching, I was considered one of those flaky, weird people because not everybody was on board with this whole energy thing.
you mean you're not considered that anymore?
No, because Oprah's made me cool. You know, Oprah has said, oh, you know, those people that understand energy and manifesting and the flow and connection, those people are cool. We all want to know that. So now I'm not such a freak anymore, which is kind of sad. But
you're cool no matter what. And freaky, by the way. You're so freaky to me, Tanya.
Yes, thank you. I feel much better now.
You're welcome. Okay, so how does Tantra affect our house and car?
Well, you know, basically when we live in... on a solid foundation in ourselves, and we live in awareness of how we connect to everything, and everything is connected to us, we live in a flow that's much better. Now, some people throw these banter around these spiritual words like flow, and have a misconception of what that means. Flow doesn't mean I'm just like a dead leaf on the water and I'm not taking any action in my life and I'm just batted around and it just happens. Flow is a very purposeful process and an action. So learning the basics of Tantra is about learning about self. It's about learning about how the world works and how we all interact and what our foundation, you know, I keep using this word foundation, but without a solid house, without a solid footing under us, we crumble. And that's what's happening with a lot of people today. They're trying to do so much without any solid foundation under them that they keep falling and being challenged, whether it's relationship or business. So we can use the technology and science of Tantra to build our foundation. And we have five levels of building the foundation in modern Tantra. And level one is Tantra of awareness, which teaches you all about energy and how we're connected and the awareness of that. Tantra of self, which is the second most important thing, which is learning about ourself, what our beliefs are, how we're programmed, what we really want to be, what's our authentic truth. Tantra of relations is about your relationships, not just your sexual relationships, but your family, your coworkers, your friends, how you move about in the world, how you create connections. Tantra for business is all about your money, how you feel about your energy of money and how you make money and what kind of business person you are. And that's all about connection, intimate connection, which is not sexual. And then Tantra number five is life mastery. And that doesn't mean once you're there, like you're there. Ta-da! It means that once you have attained that degree of understanding, that when your foundation gets a hole in it, because inevitably it does, because none of us are perfect, you know exactly what to do to fill that hole back up, to get back into balance. So, modern Tantra in a nutshell.
Wow.
The silence.
Sounds cool.
And you know, between level two and three, the self and relations, each I have a men's and women's sexual mastery courses so that people go and learn about sexual energy. And when I use the word sexual energy, I'm not talking about horny arousal. I'm talking about the energy of creation, because we create life and the universe in our bodies. And we need to bring some of that respect and sacredness back to ourselves.
You call that sacred relation, a sacred sexual relationship?
Not really. That's one of those terms being thrown around, sacred sexuality. It's kind of like, you know, sacredness of self, I think, is different. Feeling sacred about your body, your temple, knowing that your sexual energy isn't something you're supposed to just spurt out and get rid of out of your body. You're actually supposed to retain it and use it to expand your body and your consciousness and your energy. Big topics. You know, and most of us get horny and feel like we need to do something about it, get rid of that feeling. We don't like that tension in our body. So, go ahead.
Or we like it?
Well, we like that, you know, but do we expand it? You know, most people, you know, pleasure is infinite, but most people are living like in a two out of infinity.
Mm.
Not working at expanding their arousal, at running that not just in their genitals, but through their body, outside of their body. So the concept is, you know, when a tantric couple who's been trained makes love, they're not just joining physical. They're joining emotional. They're joining spiritual. They're holding the hands of God. And their energy is pouring out from them and communing with the family, the community, the world, so that there's actually healing and intent behind it as well.
You know, I have to ask you something that I for example, have in this spiritual world, so to speak, have run across couples that say, oh my God, when we make love, we're in the fifth dimension and the sixth dimension and we're connecting with all these dimensions and all that.
Yeah.
And I look at them and I'm like, how could you have chemistry in those dimensions when there's none here? I don't see it. You know?
Well, you know, okay, so we can.
And I'm judging. I'm judging, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. Let's be non-judging.
And I'm jealous, you know, because.
First of all, I don't believe there is such a thing as non-judgment. Okay, because if you don't judge anything, you just like I don't know what you're doing.
Right.
I'm not a spiritual teacher that's in all that, you know, kind of language. fifth, sixth dimension. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. You know, they're having a good time. That's really great. But, you know, it is true that some people have bought into some of the New Age Neo stuff in such a way that they're not in their body. I mean, Tantra is about being in your body. It's not really about traveling outside of your body. It's not about projecting, transcending. It's about being real right now in your body. So the people that are all about, oh, let's just live in love, and, you know, love without passion is vapid, in my opinion. So I'm going to, a whole bunch of people here are going to be like screaming, ah, but that's okay, because I'm kind of known as the spiritual rebel in that regard.
And that's okay, because we'll tell them how to get a hold of you instead of writing us.
Right, exactly.
Well, we want them to get a hold of you anyways, because I think there's lots to learn here. But finish your thought.
So it's not, Tantra is not about sitting around in purple robes with incense and, you know, only communing in a higher plane. You know, Tantra is about feeling everything you can feel in your body to an exquisite nuance. It's about suspending time so that you can experience what you're experiencing in your body, sight, smell, sound, touch, feel, not just going away somewhere. And I think that's what, and it's not taking anything away. You can still have sports sex. You can still go bang on the back of the couch. You know, it's about texture. It's about authenticity. If Tantra was all about just sitting with my hands in namaste, staring at my partner and doing nothing else, I wouldn't be doing it. I mean, I'd be bored. I believe that we have texture. We have life. We like the clouds. Some people like endless blue sky. But I don't think that's really the texture in life that we were made for.
So I like what you're talking.
Okay. All right. So you know, I believe that tantras are, you know, tantrics are spiritual warriors. You know, when people say to me, oh, don't you just wish for world peace? I'm like, no, not really. And they're like, whoa, what?
Oh, whoa. Actually, good. I think I know where you're going to go with that. And let's take that up when we come back right after this. We're talking to Tanya Diamond, who is the creator of Modern Tantra and Tantra for Business. And when we come back, we're going to talk about why she doesn't think that we should just have world peace. Somehow that's related to Tantra, and I think I'm going to like her answer, because I think there's more meaning behind what we think. So obviously there is. We encourage you to learn more about Tanya by going to her website that I have not placed in front of my... Tanya, can you fill us in real quick?
Yes, I can. It's those three W's, learningtantra.com.
That's right, learningtantra.com. How could I forget? So we'll be back with Tanya Diamond right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
Well, we're back. I'm Filippo, and I am having a great time getting to interview our guest, Tanya Diamond, who is a creator of Modern Tantra and Tantra for Business, and who also is the author of Beyond Sex Tantra, A Practical Guide to Extraordinary Living. And Tanya, before we went on our break there, you said people ask you if you want world peace, and you said, no, not really, and we cut to the break.
All these people bated breath. What? Yeah, I do consider myself a spiritual teacher, so that does kind of take people aback, shall I say. It's like, you know, when people say love is the answer. I do believe gratitude is might be the answer. So world peace, why is it? So first of all, the entire universe is volatile and it's ever changing. To live in one space, like to live in a flat line of love or to live in a flat line of peace, seems to defy every molecule that is in energetic existence. Mm. Now, when I say that, I don't mean that basically we should be, you know, warring, or that we should be killing each other, or that we should be disrespectful. But I do think that there's just this, you know, people get on a bandwagon and they start using words and terms and thoughts of things that they haven't even considered what that means. So that's part of it. I like to shake it up. Like one of my chapters in my book is called Zen is for Sissies. Mm. And, you know, the art of Zen is beautiful and it's fabulous. What I'm talking about in the chapter is the fact that just sitting in non-motion and silence is not what our bodies were designed for. Mm. And how being a warrior and an activist and an action-oriented person is really what we were designed for. So, you know, the tantric monks, there used to be monks who sat in caves, and that was great, but tantra itself was designed for householders. It was designed as a spiritual path for people who had real lives. You know, your whole show is about real, and this is what it is. So the art forms of flower arranging and dancing and making love and preparing your food could all become extensions and tools for enlightenment. Mm.
Mm.
Because if we're just sitting in a cave somewhere, that's good and fine, but it isn't what real life is.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting that you should say that. I have seen practices of people in certain religions, and without judging, or as far as you're concerned, judge away.
That's how we have, if we don't judge, you know, we don't have questions. I think what we're supposed to do with the whole judgment thing is not to close.
Mm.
So okay. If you have a judgment, you're saying, well, I feel this way about that. I'm like, great, and I feel this way about that, and let's talk about why we feel that way.
Well, and in actuality, like you say, it was more of a question. I watched documentaries and actually experienced some people who go about their lives as if they're in prayer, but it's like constantly in prayer, and everything is this thing where they have to do a ritual or whatever, and I think... I don't know if you're really living or if we really came to do that, but maybe they did. Maybe they've done other stuff in other lives. Who knows?
Well, you know what? There's a couple of different ways. It's great. I'm going to get lots of, I usually offend several people when I have any talk at all. But so here comes, if you're listening and you're offended by this, just, you can email me that. So
yeah. Shall we give your email?
Yeah. Tanya@learningtantra.com. Bring them on. So basically, there is a thing called a New Age victim. And those are people that are, you know, grabbing, you know, the tools that are supposed to be, used for a while. Maybe it's like crystals or, you know, different things like that. And they've grabbed onto them, and then they start down the path of fear. Like, if I don't, you know, cleanse this room when I walk into it, then things will get me. If I don't carry these crystals with me, bad energy will affect me. And I have something to say about that. And that is basically, if you're living in fear, you're not really living. So the teachers that teach people to surround themselves with white light and carry your crystals and do all this and teach you to be afraid, you need to find somebody else. Because if you walk in power, there is nothing that is really going to bother you.
Yeah, and I have something to say about that, too. The views of our guests are not necessarily those.
Filippo has nothing to do with this. I believe it. You know, I have some rocks. I've got some crystals up on my altar. I have an altar. I have these things. And they're great tools. Like, when you first start anything, you use tools to help remind you. Like, Tantra is a very ritualized form of initiation. You have to have a mango board with sandalwood powder and this go through these 197 things together. You know, so it's not that I'm against any of that. What I'm saying is it depends where it comes from. If it's coming from a place of fear, like you cannot leave the house because there's bad energy, that's not living.
Yeah, exactly. I hear you.
Right. So you got to understand that energy is neutral until you attach something to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's attach something to business. Now, how does all this relate? I mean, how does sex and Tantra and business all come together?
Well, it's interesting. When I started Tantra for Business, it was quite curious because I got a few phone calls from people saying, are you teaching people how to be sex workers?
And you said, of course.
I'm like, well, the business concepts of sex work, or what are we talking about here? the word Tantra and business just seem to really throw people. But I have an inner circle program of people that I actually I do corporate training. And I have a guy who's become a millionaire after working with me. And so how you do this is how you do everything. And Tantra itself, it's about relationships. It's about relationship to self and to others, to money, to energy, and to everything. And if you understand how to use energy, you understand how to do whatever you need to do.
Okay, so you were – go on.
So Tantra for Business is basically taking business skills. So that's all about – people don't do business with paper. People do business with people. Mm. And so learning to connect to another, learning to how to use your body posture, how to use a handshake, how to connect with somebody else to gain rapport, how to be authentic in yourself in such a way that people believe in you because you're in integrity. I mean, so the core is what's your truth, what's integrity? Coming from a place of integrity allows you to move forward without shame and guilt. Shame being one of the most poisonous things there are on the planet.
You know, I was thinking, I agree with that. I was thinking that of how I could apply something you were talking about with women smelling out their mates. You know, it's right. Interesting because in business we do that. I smell a rat or, you know, something doesn't smell right about this deal, right?
Yeah, something's fishy, doesn't smell right. And so what we're doing is we have all these cues all the time. But we are not cognizant of them. So in Tantra for Business, what I do is I assess. Let's take this. I can speak about this gentleman. One of my clients has allowed me to speak of him. And he owns a water technology system that's going to revolutionize. It is revolutionizing how we clean water globally. And he'd had this thing for 14 years, and nobody would listen to him. He was getting doors shut in his face all the time. And he came to me for seduction coaching. And we had a little conversation, and I said, we'll coach, all right. So we started coaching, and, you know, I'm talking about his business and, you know, telling him how to, like, get up and walk out after you've said this. Now do this. That guy you need to do this with. And he goes, so when are we getting to the women? And I said, oh, we're doing that. Just keep going. So,
interesting. This is the other way around.
Right. So I taught him, and, you know, within 3 months, all these doors are opening. His business is taking off. And basically what I did is I said, you know, you're angry. You're angry because all these people have closed their doors in your face for so long that you are carrying the energy of anger with you and nobody will listen to you. And no woman would approach you at this point either.
Mm.
And so we worked on what, of course, Tantra of awareness, Tantra of self, Tantra for relations, And so we've worked up the now he's getting, okay, I can see how this all relates. I said, if you can woo that businessman over there, you can woo a woman. Because it's about showing up. It's about complete presence. It's about being so strong in your own integrity and so confident in yourself that that is electric. That's magnifying.
Wow. Of course, if he can woo the businessman and make millions of dollars, then he doesn't have to woo a woman.
Well, there is that. And I told him, you know, of course that'll come that they'll be calling me saying, how can I tell whether they want me for me or my money?
That's what I was going to get at, right.
And so, you know, and that's that once you have the ability to be able to walk into a boardroom, take a breath and assess the boardroom in a breath, literally, because breath is the foundation of all of this, to take a breath, analyze, breathe in the room, you know, inhale what is and exhale what will be, you command that room.
I like that. That sounds powerful.
It's very powerful. And then taking that the next step and showing a man that instead of expelling his sexual energy in ejaculation, he learns to retain his energy and use that for power. Because when a man is potent, so a lot of these men are out there, you know, masturbating to porn and getting rid of all their energy all the time. Women find them limp, literally. Literally, you know, it's just, it's not alluring. But a man who learns to retain his sexual energy is potent. He walks into a room, men and women notice him.
Wow.
So that's part of, so like, what am I teaching? Like, you know, you're in business, you've got this strong businessman you're going to speak to. You have to assess right away whether you need to step up to him or it's okay to step down just a little bit because of his culture. So it's intercultural as well. I've traveled and lived all over the world. I understand different cultures and how they work. And that's about intimate relations.
Yeah. You know, Tanya, you said we're going to get into this, and then you're going to wish that we could go on and on.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's a whole week.
Yeah, exactly. And for those who want to learn about that whole week or a lifetime, actually, of training, they can go to learningtantra.com, where you can find all of what Tanya Diamond is talking about here and more. Tanya, when we come back, we'll just have a couple more minutes, and I'm going to ask you, like, what's the first thing we could do, whether it's business or relationship or sexuality or something? Give us one thing or two things that we should start looking at in preparation for this wonderful life we can have with Tantra. And we'll be right back with Tanya Diamond.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
And we're back. This has been such a great time with Tanya Diamond, and I hate to see it come to an end here. But if, Tanya, you could give us a couple more ideas, actually have given us ideas, but
yeah, I can tell you what the foundation of all of this is. I mentioned it a little bit in passing, but basically the first thing I teach everybody is conscious breath. And I know we're all breathing or we wouldn't be, we'd be dead, but most people are just living just barely above dead with their breathing right now. And conscious breath is the first thing of inhaling energy into your body and understanding what you're feeling. Most people are disconnected from what they feel. Unfortunately, our childhood really does a number on us. And we're taught to please our parents instead of really be authentic beings. And so breath work is really imperative. Learning to breathe into your body, learning how to feel what you're actually feeling so that you can then start to feel other people, literally and figuratively. So breath work is a really big thing. Becoming aware of the fact that what you think and what you are feeling that's going on behind the scenes, meaning your subconscious mind, is really running most of what you do. Most people think they're running free will, but they're really not. They're running their programs. Mm. So learning to understand what's really going on and how your focus really gets you, and I know that you probably talk about this with quite a few guests, but what you focus on really does happen,
mm-hmm.
and it does occur. We are responsible for things that go on in our lives. And especially in countries like this where we have so much choice. I think that getting an education in your relationship and yourself is important. It's why we're putting out 13 new websites, including Tantra for Families.
Wow.
And, Tantra is a lifelong, you teach your kids to be tantric. They're already start kind of tantric because they're all about life and moving and their senses and their feeling. And we tend to shut them down. So if you're a parent, open your kid up, be a little bit more like them. At any age, you can engage in learning about your sexual energy and what to do with it, that it's not just for your genitals. It's actually for your empowerment and for your life, but you have to understand how to use that. And, breath work, once again, breath work is the key to, all sorts of from ecstasy, from 15-hour-long orgasms, which are possible, to holding the hands of God, to just de-stressing your body.
Okay, so we're going to have a show on the 15 hours worth of orgasms.
Of course we are.
What are you doing Monday night?
You like that hook? Yeah, you could just have me on for a while. We'll just go through all the different nuances here of everything that's going on. Tantra is a vast, vast subject, and we are really going to take front and center with really getting some really good websites out and some books out and really letting people get educated about themselves and their life.
No, this is exciting, and people can go to learningtantra.com to learn more about you, and I'm assuming to connect to those other 15 websites.
They're coming. Yeah, well, they're coming one by one. We've got Tantra for Business, Tantra for Men, and Learning Tantra right now.
Okay, that sounds like a great start. And you know that when you come to LA, you're going to have to call me.
Oh, yay!
Because we're going to have to connect. And I can't wait till we're on video or TV or internet something where we could do this in person so our energies can mesh.
Oh, yeah. How fun is that?
It's been great meshing on the radio. I can't wait to do it in person.
Well, and I'd love anytime you'd like somebody, just give me a call.
Well, I thank you for that. I don't know what you're referring to, but I'll take it.
Excellent. Right. I had a great time, Filippo.
Thank you, Tanya. Me too. Ciao, ciao. Take care. Well, Mark, that was Tanya Diamond.
That was a heck of a show.
What a show. What a show. I love this topic.
I think what was most interesting to me, when she covers the business aspect and layering that over what people know to be Tantra and its association with sex, you forget that that's your creative energy. Mm. Business is creation. And yet, when you've been involved in good businesses, successful businesses or businesses that aren't as successful, there's an obvious energy to them. There's an obvious momentum or lack thereof, the pushing the rock uphill analogy that some use when things just don't seem to be going right and you keep running into obstacles versus going with the flow and when things seem to be all just falling in place. And all that's energetic. So a lot of what she says makes perfect sense. And I had no idea that Tantra as a reference technology was that old and that broad. It's an area that I don't know much about, so this is very interesting to me.
Yeah, I this will probably be in the book that I'm writing, that I, you know, as a sexual being, I didn't grow up until like last year. And so I didn't carry, I wasn't, either it didn't come naturally, or I was taught to shy away from it, or I was shut down for whatever reason. And it was interesting to have people, professional people, fans or whatever, people that really cared as a singer, would come up to me as a singer and say, you know, go ahead and unbutton your shirt a little bit. You know, don't be afraid to, you know, stand there in your power and be sexy. They could tell that I wasn't using the sexual energy on stage. And I remember having a comeback like, no, I don't want to, you know, my music's not about that. And some people said things that I didn't understand at the time, but it's like, everything's about that. It's kind of like saying, oh, no, I'm not intellectual. It's like, well, it's all part of us.
We've built so many walls, is what I was thinking about. I really resonated with her talking about authenticity. And I started thinking about my own childhood and you know, growing up in a, you know, rather strict religious, you know, upbringing. And there's so much, we have structured ourselves almost away from being human. The layers upon layers of judgment or guilt or shame or just simple association with sex or sexuality. I think it's just been recently that I've started to understand what it is just to be a normal human being or a normal male. Because you're told what to do or when to do it or what not to do or how you're going to offend somebody or when you're going to offend them or if you wear this or smell that way or act this way or breathe that way. You know, there's so much
right
around that, that we, you look back to the indigenous tribes and, you know, it's attributed to savagery, but actually it's authenticity. The way they dress, the way they act and interact, the way they feel each other, the way they sense their surroundings. It's something to, I think, admire and maybe get back to a little bit.
You know, that's interesting. I was in Italy several years back with a group of people. I was invited to sing there. And there was this one lady who always sat next to me for some reason. She was very attractive, actually, beautiful woman. And she was also performing there as well. And I remember at one point, we were in this group of people, and there was a gentleman sitting directly across from the lady, and I was sitting next to her. And she was fanning, it was hot, she was fanning herself with her dress. And then it dawned on me that she was giving this man a show, you know, and the other men there too. And this one man in particular, who was married and had children and all that, was also looking at me. And it made me uncomfortable. And it's like, you know, the show's right here next to me, guy. Why are you looking at me? And I remember saying something to him afterwards, I telling him that I didn't appreciate him, you know, looking at me and being so obvious that he was attracted to me. And he says, why do you think I'm attracted to you? I said, well, you're obviously, you know, homosexual. And he laughed and he laughed. And it wasn't like an uncomfortable laugh. It was like he really laughed that I really thought that. And then it wasn't until years later that I thought, wait a minute. He was just admiring me as a man, as a young man, as a person, as the energy that I was bringing. And I took it to that because of my ignorance of how when people look at each other, when people say things to each other, I mean, these people have no problems telling you they love you and holding you and hugging you, men and men, women, and, you know, and it's not sexual.
Because there's layers of programming, and it goes back to moments we've had where we've been, you know, in a situation and someone else had a fear or a layer of programming, and maybe a way like that that we reacted or acted triggered something in them and the memory that they have and or a lesson that they were taught or something that, you know, that they were guided to be, do, or say. And you know, we get in this reactionary type of a situation because of that programming, rather than being able to truly embrace whatever that feeling was at the moment in its truth and sincerity and just share it. And then that's the interesting thing. We have, there's a battle of programming going on. We have sociological
programming and psychological programming in our bodies. We have biological and chemical programming based on our makeup and the things that we've been taught and the times we've been either humiliated or embarrassed or encouraged and strengthened or whatever the case may be. And you know, there's a lot going on that if people can step back and look at that and maybe take a moment before they react, then maybe they would handle things differently or be more confident or be able to move forward without the limitation.
Yeah, and now that you're saying that, I think of what could have been, not necessarily with him or with her, but just, you know, like we were talking about LaTanya, when you make a judgment, things just stop, as opposed to being discerning, maybe is the word, and questioning or what have you. I could have learned something more, and I have actually now years later, but there was an energy there that I could have gone into their energy and been able to enjoy the people and understand them much more than my judging. And there was actually, as I look back, nothing wrong. If anything, it was beautiful.
Well, if you judge, you limit, right? So the minute you judge something, you put a label on it or you put it in a box or a package or whatnot, and you put a stop to it. If you don't judge it, you haven't labeled it, you haven't put it in a box, you haven't put it in a package, which gives you the opportunity to continue to observe it. And this goes back to the whole idea of just being, but to continue to watch and listen and learn, right? So I think that's the very interesting thing. We don't realize just how much we are limiting ourselves by judging things outside ourselves.
You know, that's interesting because I do also remember being in the town where my parents grew up, and it was a small town. And I took a liking to this one young lady who was so much fun and so interesting and just a beautiful, bubbly energy. And I remember one of my relatives telling me to stay away from her because she was the town hussy. Now, you know, that's not why I was with her or spending time with her. But, okay, so she sleeps with all the men in town. But maybe there's something else about her that's, you know, wonderful. Or maybe that's what's wonderful about her. I don't know.
But who's judging?
Who's judging? Well, you know, I'm not judging, but it does look like the end of another great show, if I may say so myself. So I want to say thank you to all of you for being part of this show and for listening. And I, along with our producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our producer, Mark Lejour, and our engineer, Seth Hendricks, want to thank you for being part of the show, being part of the change we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes.